very beginning. We find when Yaakov Avinu sleeps at Har HaMoriah, Yidar Yaakov Neder Leimar, he makes a neder, and he promises that if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is with him, or Eben Hazer Shasamti Matseva Yiyah Beis Olakim. Rav Shor and Argad Al Yohu and Parshas Matais writes an important yisaid. He says that there's a rule that any concept which is original in the Torah has its cheshivos, has its importance by the first place that it is mentioned. This is a concept Rav Shor brings in numerous places in the name of Rav Tzadik. Nedarim, taking an oath, is mentioned here for the very first time. Vayidar Yaakov Neder Leimar. And in line with Rav Tzadik's thought, the point Rav Shor makes is that the purpose of the parsha of Nedarim, the idea that there's a parsha in the Torah regarding oaths, regarding swearing, regarding making promises, is because the purpose of Nedarim, the purpose of taking an oath, is for it to be done in the way that Yaakov did it. For it to be done in a manner that causes a person to be a zariz in serving Hashem, that causes a person to be reminded, to be reinforced in his commitment to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the purpose of a neder. As you know, we don't take oaths lightly. And the idea of taking an oath in matters of business or the like is something we avoid. So where is the parsha of Nedarim as a positive idea? Where is the thought of taking an oath something constructive? Vayidar Yaakov Neder Leimar. When it's done in the manner that Yaakov Avinu does it here. This is the insight. Rav Shor adds that based on this, we can understand this which we find in Tehillim. We find in Tehillim Kuf Lamed Beis, Asher Nishba La Hashem, Nadar La Avir Yaakov. When David takes an oath, he says, I swore to God, Nadar, I took a neder La Avir Yaakov, to the God of Yaakov Avinu. It doesn't say La Avir Avram, La Avir Yitzchak. It says, to the Lord of Yaakov Avinu. Why Yaakov? Because Yaakov was Pasach B'Nedarim Tchila. Yaakov is the one who started with making a neder, and his neder is the example of a true a neder for a good reason. Now, if you look in Tehillim Kuf Lamed Beis, it continues. When it says that David HaMelech swore, what did he swear? What oath did he take? Im Avoy Ba'il Beisi, Im Etei Shnaflainai, Ad Emtza Mokim La'ashem, Mishkanai Slavir Yaakov. He swore that he would have no rest until he found and acquired the place of the Beis HaMikdash. That neder fits well with the neder of Yaakov. Yaakov swore that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought him back safely, Ha'even Hazayza Shasamti Matzeva Yiyah Beis Elikim. He swore to establish a house of God. And it fits beautifully that the next neder, the neder which David HaMelech mentions, is also done in the same concept. I'm sure he adds more. He said that Parshas Matos comes out during the 3 weeks. And the Parsha of Nedarim seems to have no connection to the 3 weeks. But according to this, it's good. The Parsha of Nedarim was made originally, and again in the time of David, to establish a Beis HaMikdash. And during the 3 weeks, when we mourn the Beis HaMikdash, it's very fitting that we should be reminded of this Parsha of Nedarim. We find also that David HaMelech said, Nishpati v'akayema lishmar mishpatei tzedkecha. I swore and will keep to observe the mitzvahs. So again, this idea, the purpose of the parsha of Nedarim, is as we find it here. Now, it's a bit difficult to know how to put this in practice. We are afraid to make Nedarim, to take an oath, even for a dvar mitzvah, and rightfully so. So what does that leave us with? What can we do? One wonders, if I make a neder and I say b'li neder, if I promise to do something but I say b'li neder because I'm afraid I may not keep it, does that have any meaning at all? It's interesting, if I recall correctly, there's a letter in the Tshuvas, the first volume of the Kovetz Tshuvas of Rebbe Yashiv, where Rebbe Yashiv and the son-in-law of Chaim Kanievsky, they should live and be well, disagree on the point. They're talking there about Kabbalah's kindness, about accepting a kindness for the following day. Rav Chaim Kanievsky apparently holds that one can do so b'li neder. Rabbi Yosha says it's meaningless, and that with a b'li neder is nothing. I believe that Rav Rambam at the end of Siman Aleph says that this is actually a machlaik, dependent on a machlaikas Rishayim. Be that as it may, at least according to some Rishayim, we have an idea of promising to do something with a Bli Neder. In other words, taking a Kabbalah upon ourselves. It's not really an oath, but it's a Kabbalah to do something. If we succeed and fulfill that Kabbalah, it does have extra meaning. And perhaps this is a mahalach, this is an approach for us to try to use this parasha. Let us move on. So the first story is the story of Yaakov Avinu on Har HaMoria. After Shani, the scene shifts. The scene shifts to Yaakov arriving at the home city of Lavan, and of course coming upon the Be'er. When he comes there, Yaakov Avinu says Musar to the shepherds who have gathered, and he says to them, the day is still young, it's not time for you to gather in the sheep. Now it's all difficult to understand why Yaakov Avinu assumed that they were about to retire for the evening. They came to give their sheep to drink. Why did Yaakov make an assumption that they were going to somehow quit their jobs early? In the story, it's not that clear. In addition, the language of Yaakov, Hein Oid Hayoim Gadol, the day is still young, there are still many hours to the day, Lo Yeso Asef HaMikna, is redundant. Yaakov should have said, Lo Yeso Asef HaMikna, it's not time for you to gather in the sheep. The language Oid Hayoim Gadol certainly could use explanation. And I saw a beautiful explanation in the Sefer Acharei Ro'i, a beautiful Sefer on a number of topics. And he suggests the following. Remember, the night before this event was the night that Yaakov Avinu came upon Har HaMoria. On that night, the sun set early. Miraculously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the sun set early so that Yaakov would sleep at Har HaMoria. Now, when the sun set early, it wasn't only Yaakov Avinu who noticed that. It was the whole world that noticed Kivah HaShemesh, that the sun set early. So people the world over were wondering, what is this astronomical event? Is it that from now on, we have a new time for sunset? There's been some shift. And now, sunset is going to be earlier. The shepherds didn't want to be stuck out in the field with their sheep when it gets dark. How are they going to collect the sheep? So the next day, they panicked. They said, well, the sun may set a few hours early again today. So quickly they gathered in their sheep and brought them to the well. Yaakov Avinu understood this. He said to them, Oid Hayayim Gadol, don't worry, there's still plenty of hours left to today's day. It's not the time to gather the sheep, because Yaakov Avinu, alone among all the human beings in the world, understood and knew why the sun had set early the night before. What a beautiful thought, a beautiful thought. A third thought regarding the parasha really is connected to the end of the parasha. At the end of the parasha, we find that when Yaakov Avinu is finally returning, so we see that he comes upon a group of angels. He came upon what Rashi describes as a group of angels. What are these angels? So Rashi says they were the Malachim of Eretz Yisrael, just as when he left Eretz Yisrael. The angels of Eretz Yisrael took leave of Yaakov Avinu. So too now, as he was returning, Rashi says, Malachim shall Eretz Yisrael, ba'u likrasai l'lavaisei l'oretz. The Eretz Yisrael angels came to accompany him back to Eretz Yisrael. The Rabban asks that it's not logical to say so, because Yaakov Avinu was still quite a distance from Eretz Yisrael. He had not passed through the lands of Moav and Midian. And therefore, the Rabban disagrees with Rashi. To explain Rashi, I'd like to share with you a nice yisoid that says in the Divrei Yoel on this week's parasha, not in regard to this Ramban, but he talks about the general concept of Vayetze, of taking leave of a place, of being somewhere. And he writes a important yisoid. He says that although physically a person is wherever his body is at any given time. Nevertheless, on a higher level, on a spiritual level, a person is where his mind takes him, where his mind wants him to be. Not that he's physically there, but it's ki'ilu. We find such a concept in the laws of Tum Shabbos. On Shabbos, a person is not allowed to travel more than 2,000 amos. And nevertheless, if on Erev Shabbos someone placed an Erev Tchumen, and his das, his mind is to be Kainish Nisa, to acquire the place of his residing for Shabbos at the place of the Erev Tchumen, then that becomes his place. As a matter of fact, the Mishnah in Erevin talks about someone who's traveling, cannot put an Erev Tchumen. It's enough that he has in mind, and he states, I want my place to be where that tree is. In other words, where a person wants his place to be, that's his place. That's the place that halachically we look at him as if he is there. We find such an idea in Brachas Daf Chaf Ches, that when someone davens Shmoneh Esrei, we face Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah says, "Emeini yochel lechavin panav neged Yerushalayim." If he's unable, for one reason or other, to face Yerushalayim, yechavin eslibay neged beis kodesh hakodeshim. He should point his heart towards the beis hamikdash, towards the place of the kodesh hakodeshim. And this is the same idea that where a person wants to be, in a sense, that's where he is. Eretz Yisrael itself is called the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes kaviyachal are in Eretz Yisrael, and we too, if our hearts are towards Eretz Yisrael, it's as if we're there. The Gemara Ksuvis Daf Ayin Hey Darshan is the pasuk. Uitzian Yeomar Ish Ish Yulad Ba Buyachay Nene El Yain. In Tehillim Pei Zayin it says regarding Tzion, regarding Yerushalayim, that the Goyim say Ish Ish Yulad Ba. All you are born there. So the Gemara Darshans, Amar Amayshu Barbarei Dur Bishul Ben Levi, Echad HaNoilid Ba, not only one who's born there, but Echad HaMetzapa L'Raisa, also someone who in his heart wants to see Yerushalayim, has a strong desire to be there, it's as if he was born there, as if he's a citizen of Yerushalayim. And Rashi says, L'Asad L'Avai, Rashi says that in later days, the Goyim will look at Jews, and whoever wants to be in Eretz Yisrael, whoever has a tshuka desire, will be called Bnei Tzion. So, this is the idea that we are a person that has his heart set, in a certain sense, it's as if he's there. Here too, Yaakov Avinu was now heading back to Eretz Yisrael. His heart was on Eretz Yisrael. His mind was on Eretz Yisrael. He was eager to return, even from a distance. At that moment, the Malachim returned to him. The Malachim of Eretz Yisrael came to him, ki'ilu, as if he was actually there. I'd like to end today with a question. I have to admit, sometimes the questions I ask are questions to which I know an answer. But the one I'm going to pose to you now is something which disturbed me to my recollection for the first time as I was reviewing the parasha. And perhaps somebody can come up with an answer. Yaakov Avinu, in defending himself to Lavan, in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Ches, Lamed Tes, and Mem, explains that for 20 years he took care of the sheep of Lavan, and if anything happened to any of them, if something happened to one of the sheep, even if Min Hadin Yaakov would not be obligated to pay, he still paid from his own money and reimbursed Lavan. As Rashi says, Rashi says that if anything was stolen, Hakril Shilamti, I paid back. I took my own money and paid back. There's a bit of a difficulty. We know that Yaakov Avinu crossed the Yarden, the Makli of Ardias, the Yarden Hazeh, that everything he had was taken from him by Eliphaz, the grandson of Esav, and he came penniless to Lavan. Where did he earn money to be able to pay back, to repay Lavan for the sheep that was stolen? He had no money. He worked 7 years for one wife, 7 years for another, and now these 6 years, he was not paid. It says for all 20 years, he was able to pay him back, from where did he acquire money to be able to pay him? This is something which Tzorach Iyun Gadol. Unless he wrote a letter to Yitzchak and Yitzchak mailed him money. Maybe that is the answer. Thinking about it, the kasha would apply even earlier in the parasha. In Perek Chav Ches, Pasek Yud Ches, Yaakov Avinu sleeping at Har HaMeiria, Vayitzak Shemen Al Roisha, he pours oil on the Matzeva. Again, if Eliphaz took everything from him, from where did he get the oil? And Tzarachin, it's something which needs a little bit of thought. Someone will come up with an answer. Hopefully next year I'll share it with everyone. In the meantime, a reminder, Monday night we switch to the same Talumat of Bracha. We should have a good Gevensh Yar with plenty of rain and Bracha here and in Eretz Yisrael. Our eyes are to Eretz Yisrael. A good Shabbos to all.